And so the title of my message today is The Threefold Gift of God. The Threefold Gift of God. Okay, so we're going to move to our scriptures there. The Threefold Gift of God. And the scripture we're going to start in today is Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. And it says this, I acknowledge, and this is David speaking. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And so for many years, you know, I just figured when we heard the word iniquity or transgression or sin, it was all one and the same. But there's a difference. It's all transgression. But what is iniquity? Because David is saying here that his sin, which is his outward transgression against the law of God, was caused by something. It was caused by iniquity. He's saying my sin, my action of rebellion, has a twin sister named iniquity. All right? And David recognized that. And in Psalm chapter 38, verse 18, I'm reading out of the New King James, it says, David says again, I will declare my iniquity, I will be in anguish over my sin. Okay? And what I like about David, as you read the Psalms, you'll see that David is always talking about iniquity. He's talking about sin. He's very open and transparent with God about how he feels. And I think there's something to be learned there, okay? In Psalm chapter 51, verse 2, we see that David, actually, we know that he sinned with Bathsheba, had her husband killed. He did some pretty bad stuff. And he's in a time of prayer, and he's talking to God. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. So he deciphers the two. How many see that? He doesn't just say, God, you know, cleanse me from my sin. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Okay? So we see that there's a difference. He continues in the prayer in Psalm 51, verse 5. He says, behold, I was brought forth. Go to the next scripture there. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. All right? So he's saying, listen, there was iniquity in my mother, and I was brought forth from that place because she committed sin. Okay? So that's a whole other message. We won't get into that one. But we can see something here. We see that there are two things going on here. We have the word iniquity and the word sin or transgression. And 31 verses in the Bible that I counted, there might be a few more, but there's 31 verses in the Bible that I saw with the word iniquity and sin together in the same verse. Most of them are out of the Psalms, but they're there. All right? And then there's another 10 verses speaking of iniquity and sins in the plural sense together as well. So there's 41 verses specifically saying there's iniquity and there's sin. So I thought it would be good if we looked at that together, have a better idea. What is iniquity? What is iniquity? From all my research and from my own experience, how many know we have a negative experience in life? Iniquity is really, it's a wrong desire, drive, or feeling. It's a crooked appetite. Can you say that with me? Say crooked appetite. And it's when that we have these feelings or these desires, it will cause us to transgress and to sin against God. But it's birthed in iniquity, and then when we transgress, we actually sin. Okay? So iniquity is a wrong desire, a drive, or a feeling, a crooked nature within us. Okay? Transgression is acting on those wrong desires. That's the difference. Iniquity is a twisted appetite or desire, and sin is a voluntary departure of a moral agent that God has decreed, and we go against his word. Now here it is. In the Old Testament, we understand something. We understand that sin was covered by the sacrifice, but that the crooked sin nature still had power in people's lives. And I want to say this morning, as I teach, I want you to understand something, that as a New Testament believer, you don't have to have a crooked desire in you anymore for sin. Amen. You don't have to have an appetite for unrighteousness. That appetite can be taken out of you. We got a lot of Christians going around saying, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, but in your heart, you really want to do it. And it becomes, your life becomes just a thing about the law of right and wrong. It's, I shouldn't really do that because God doesn't want me to do it, but boy, would I like to do that. Who wants to live like that? That's religion. I don't want to live like that. And so if we can understand what iniquity is and deal with it at the root, we can walk a victorious life. All right? So sin is an outward transgression. Iniquity is inward desire for sinful things. There's three things that happen when you get saved. How many want to know? Because this title of this message is Three Blessings. So I want you to turn with me to this or look at the screen. We're going to look at Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. And it says this. This is a prophetic word about where God wanted to take Israel. He says here, and I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out of you a stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So we'll just leave that scripture up there, Josiah, and we'll break this down. Number one, God will give you a new, tender, responsive heart. But before he can give you a new, tender, responsive heart, he has to take out the old, stony heart. And the heart is, if you study what the heart is the subconscious mind. When you were born as a little child, everything you have experienced through your five senses, through touch, sight, hearing, smell, whatever you experience has come into your data bank, into your brain, and has been deposited into your subconscious mind. And you are what you have, you're a product of what you have experienced, what you've been influenced by. How many would agree with that? So, you know, if you grew up with a mother and father and one of your parents loved sports and they were like always playing hockey and always going, taking you to games and everything was about sports, chances are you're going to grow up with an appetite and a desire for sports, or you'll hate it, one of the two, depending on the experience. Okay? Because you are a product of what you've experienced through your five senses. And so God understands this. God understands that when we come to him, we're going to have woundedness, we're going to have brokenness, we're going to have situations in the past that have formed us and gave us appetites that were not pleasing to God. And he says, I'm going to do something really good for my people. I'm going to take out the stony heart, and I'm going to give them a new, clean slate so that they can have new desires and new appetites in their life. What a good God. The heart is the subconscious mind, and our desires come from within the heart. I want you to say that with me. Our desires come from within the heart. Why do we need a new heart? Because Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 tells us, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Okay, we'll go to that scripture. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, slander. It comes out of the heart. And God says, I'm going to give them a new heart. I'm going to give them a clean slate. And that's one of the blessings of, we hear this term, you must be born again. What does it mean? It's a threefold blessing. And I don't know about you, I had a guy, I'll give you a story. In Kingston, a guy came to me, he was hungry for God, he was studying different religions and stuff, and I shared the gospel, and he said, and this doesn't happen often, so I treasured it. He said, what must I do to be saved? I was like, awesome. How many love to hear that? Because that's just like, it's harvest time. And so I said to him, I said, listen, you just got to call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And I did the little, you know, five spiritual laws or whatever, four spiritual laws. He got saved and he was excited and I was excited. I went home, he went home. Well, the next day or the day after that, I get a phone call. I have an emergency, pastor. I need to talk to you. And I so I thought, this is urgent. So let's meet right away. And I get together with him and he says, something's different. I said, what's that? He goes, My girlfriend I've been living with for 7 years, I feel terrible. I feel like I'm dishonoring God by living with her. He's like, I just don't feel right about it. We need to get married, Pastor. Will you marry us? Like, we're going to separate, and then we're not going to be together, and we're going to get married. And you know what? I said, have you ever felt that way before? He said, no, I never even thought about it before. It was just life. This is how I do life. I got a girlfriend. But suddenly what had happened was God took out the heart of flesh, heart of stone, and gave him a responsive, tender heart and a clean slate. And he knew, all of a sudden he knew, oh my goodness, this isn't right. And there's so many people in the church, not in this church in general, but in church in general, that are living together with somebody, and they claim they're saved. I would challenge them to say, have I received a new heart from God? Because if you can do that and not feel convicted, then there's something wrong. It's not enough to say a little prayer and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled with a new heart. You can't continue to live in sin. There has to be something that's changed on the inside. That's why it's called the new birth. Amen? And this is not to pick on anybody, but it's something that I haven't understood, because when I, my testimony was when I got saved, and I said, Lord, I just need you. I'm tired. See, I was tired of the crooked, twisted desires that I had. I got tired always coming to God and say, God, forgive me because I did this again. I feel terrible. And I was trying to be a good Christian. God, forgive me because I shouldn't really do that. But in my heart, I wanted to do it. A year before I got saved, I was going through a real hard time. And I remember praying and saying, God, I need you. I make a decision. I'm going to follow you. And and then I'd start reading my Bible a little bit. I'd play worship music at night. Then I'd look at my Playboy magazine after that. I'm just being honest. I mean, I was, being really trying to be a good Christian. And then my friend would call me and say, hey, do you want to come to the bar with us? I'd be like, no, I'm okay. I don't really want to go. And because I'm changing my life. And a couple hours later, I'd call him back and say, yeah, I'm going to go. Because I had a desire to be in that place. Because God had not taken out the stony heart and gave me a heart of flesh. Because I didn't ask him to. Is anyone hear what I'm saying this morning? Is this all right? I'm being honest with you. But there came a time when I was really broken. And thanks to my parents and other people who were praying for me, I went down into a very dark place, and I came to my knees, and I said, Lord, I am tired of this crooked desire in me, this desire that leads me down the wrong path. I'm never satisfied. This person isn't good enough for me. This is this situation, and I'm just never satisfied. I end up doing evil things. I have evil thoughts. I have adultery. I have all this stuff going on. I want it out of me, God. I want to be saved. And I'll tell you, when I said that prayer, I gave my heart to God, something happened. Because the evil thoughts were gone. This is the miracle of the new birth. The anger that I struggled with that came out of the heart was suddenly gone. The sexual immorality was gone. Got saved immediately. Came home and said to my girlfriend, this isn't going to work. I'm moving out. And we separated because I knew in my heart that I cannot live this way anymore because God has given me a new heart. And so that's the first blessing. He says, I will give you a new heart because he wants you to have new desires. Number two, he says, I will put a new spirit in you. And that's not the Holy Spirit. That's your spirit. Somehow, he takes your spirit that's been defiled by life and by your ancestors, and he cleans you up, and he makes you a new spirit. Your spirit is brand new. You have a brand new heart, blank slate, with no desires. Then he puts his Holy Spirit in you. Because, listen, your appetites and your desires come from experience, correct? So once the Holy Spirit comes in you and you begin to experience the Father's love, you begin to experience his power, you begin to experience his wisdom, you begin to experience awesome praise and worship, you begin to hear the word of God and your spirit jumps, and you begin, all of a sudden, new desires are imprinted in your heart, and those are desires to be with God, to love God, to spend time with God. So when I got saved, what happened was right away, I couldn't watch the same movies. because they irritated me. When I heard people swear in a movie, I wanted to throw something at the TV. And I almost did a few times, but I realized I couldn't afford a new one. I started getting irritated. I remember, I'll tell you a story. I went over to see my friends, and they were all into the drug scene. And I went and sat down, and this is a true story, sitting in a circle with three or four friends, and they start passing a joint while I'm talking about my new faith. And I'm sitting there thinking, we're sitting there for 20 minutes. A week earlier, I would have said, hey, this is the life, hanging out with the boys, getting a buzz on. This is great. This is life. I'm sitting there, and I'm literally thinking, this is a waste of time. This is depressing. And I don't feel like I belong here, and I don't want to be here. And that was the last time I sat with a group of guys to get a buzz on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not because it was like, God doesn't want me to do it, so I'm not going to do it. Because he gave me a new heart. He gave me a new heart. He put a new spirit in me. I used to begin to have encounters with the Holy Spirit. And so my desires changed, and I started to want to be with God instead of being with the world. So the verse tells us what happened to our projectors. There we are. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder. Okay, let's go back to the first verse that we were talking out of in Ezekiel for a second. He says here, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take out the heart of stone, of flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you, say, and cause me to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and you will do them. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Because you have a new heart. Amen. You have a heart that just doesn't want to be in that life anymore. Does that make sense? So what happened in the Old Testament was that Holy Spirit would come upon certain people. Come upon the prophets, come upon the kings, come upon the Nazarites. Come upon certain people assigned for duties like Gideon and Samson was a Nazarite. And the Levites, so the Spirit would come and visit groups of people, but not everybody. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, 34, you got to realize what was happening was these people that had this wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit that renews you were preaching at everybody else saying, you need to change. You got to know God. He's awesome. But everybody else didn't have the Spirit. So for them, the best thing they could do was just resist the evil desires and get into works and just do what God told them to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? And look what it says in Jeremiah 31, 34. I love it. No more shall each man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, you should know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive, what? Their iniquity. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Isn't that good? And I want to say this, if you have been born again, there should be a noticeable change in your desire bank. Your desire should change. They really should. Now, that doesn't mean that after I was saved, I was never tempted. Because how many know you will go through seasons of temptation? You will go through days where you're a little tempted in a certain area because that was a pattern before. But it wasn't an everyday occurrence. It wasn't the norm. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know Christians that are struggling all the time with certain things. They're struggling. They need a new heart. They need a touch of God. They need that stony heart taken out and a heart of flesh. That's what the renewal movement was about. Really. In Toronto, it was people who needed a touch. They needed a new heart. They needed a heart of flesh. And, you know, when you deal with the iniquity, which is what? It's the twisted desires in us that are the appetites that we allow to grow in us. When we deal with those, walking with God is a breeze. It really is. Because your appetites change. Am I preaching to anybody today? Ezekiel chapter 36, if we went down here. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 31, I think it is. Then you will remember your past sins and despise yourself for all the detestable things you did. Why? Because God gave you a new heart. So when I stand up here and give testimony and sometimes share some of my past, it's hard for me because I'm not that person anymore, and it's kind of disgusted me. Like, how could I have done that? But I didn't know God. We all did it. But there has to be a point in your life, if you've truly been born again, that that stony heart's been taken out and the desires change inside of you. So you desire the things that God desires. I already shared Matthew chapter 5, and it talks about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you'll be filled. And when we get to a place where we're tired of the crooked appetites and willing to deal with them, because they never satisfy. How many know that lust, whether it's sexual lust or other types of lust, craving for things, will never be satisfied? It starts here, and then, oh, okay, I'll be satisfied if I do this, and then you do it, and then you're not satisfied, so you go deeper, and you're not satisfied, and then you go deeper, and you end up with, the Bible says, a reprobate mind. You're not able to discern right from wrong anymore, and you're left in a place of despair because the devil's a liar, and the devil's a thief, and those appetites will never satisfy you. Amen? So if you have never experienced this kind of rebirth, you need to experience. But for those of us who have, what we need to do is we have to be obedient to Scripture, and we need to guard our hearts. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23, it says this. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. This is Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. This is God speaking. All right? Verse 20 to 23, Josiah. I want to say it again. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. We're talking about some of the five senses here. Because if you'll pay attention to God's word, if you'll listen carefully and don't lose sight of the word of God, let them touch you. Let them, you know, sense of touch. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they will bring life to those who find them, and they bring healing to some of your body. All of your body. Guard your heart above everything else, for it determines the course of your life. And New King James says, for out of your heart springs the issues of life. So our key responsibility as a believer, once God has given us a new, fresh heart, is to guard it, to make sure nothing else comes. So some of those feelings and desires don't come back, because they can. You know, you can start off as a Christian, have a really good, sweet, sincere heart. And, you know, Solomon got up there and he dedicated the temple to God. And he was like, God, only one thing I want is wisdom from you. And he answered God right. He said all the right things because his heart was pure. But over time, because he didn't keep his path straight, because he let his eyes wander, because he let the love of this world come into him, next thing you know, he wasn't satisfied. He needed more and more wives, and he needed more and more money, and all of a sudden he ended up in a place that he shouldn't have been in, because his heart again became hardened. And as a believer, your spirit is saved, and you can be trying to renew your mind with the word of God, but if you don't guard your heart, it will determine where you go in life. So let's see what he says here in Proverbs 4, 24 to 27. This is how you guard your heart. Okay, he just tells us here, guard your heart above everything else. And the next verse in verse 24 tells us how to do that. Avoid all perverse talk. Avoid it. Now I understand our heart and our desire and our need is to be in the marketplace and around people who aren't saved. Okay, so I understand that. And you're going to be around it, so you can't avoid it in that sense, because you've got to be reaching them. But don't choose. It's when you choose to entertain yourself with it. When you're sitting and watching a movie, for example, and there's words that are coming, and your spirit's like, oh, that's not good. Oh, it's okay. I hear it at work. And you don't guard your heart. And you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What you're doing is you're allowing pebbles to come back into your heart and take away the desires that God has. Does that make sense to anybody today? Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Next verse. Don't get sidetracked. Mark out your, we got two different versions going here. Mark out your straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So I want to say this, okay? The reason why God is saying, don't touch, don't hang out with, don't do this, don't do that, don't, is not so that you, to resist evil desire. It's not to resist evil desire. Most Christians never get past resisting evil desire. It has more to do with protecting your desire for goodness, protecting your desire for God, protecting your desire for truth. That's already was established at the point of rebirth. We get saved, we get a new heart, and if we'll walk careful, we can stay pure. We can stay pure. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I want to see God. I want to see God in my prayer life. I want to see God in my marriage. I want to see God in my church. I want to see God in my body. I want to see health in my body. I want to see God's hand on everything. And I will only see him if I'm pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the enemy says, it's not enough that they're getting into heaven and that they're new creatures, they're saved, but I don't want them to see God, because if they see him, they'll be like him. Amen? Amen? Lucifer fell because of iniquity. In Ezekiel 28, verse 15, says, you were perfect in all your ways. And you know, many scholars believed he was the worship leader in heaven. He was an archangel for sure. We know that. You were perfect in all your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. Till iniquity was found in you. And so I want to get iniquity out of my life. You know, do you know where temptations come from? James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Am I giving you guys too much? Are you in? James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Temptation comes. Let's get on the scripture, son. James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. You don't want to slow down a preacher. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. I want you to say that when we say, temptations come from my own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and then sin is allowed to grow. It will bring birth to death, is what the scripture says. And that's James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. So I want to say this here, okay? Temptation comes from the desires that are within us. Did you know as a believer you can be tempted? I'm telling you the truth, okay? I'm not here right now where I was, and I'll be honest with you. There was a time where I couldn't wait to get off work. And probably because I didn't have such a busy life, I was single. I was like, my friends would call me, hey, you want to go see a movie? You want to see this? You want to do this? And I'd be like, no, I got an appointment. And I would run to get into my prayer closet because I just love to be with God. And it sounds freaky and weird, but it's not. I just wanted to pray. I wanted to worship. I wanted to play my guitar because I was having these great encounters with God. God was transforming. And I was, my desire, I was being tempted to skip work to go pray. Could you imagine that your temptation is for good and not for evil? Did you know you can get to a place in God where that's the norm? All right? So God, we have to deal with, say, I have to deal with desires. Okay? Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. A transgression is sinning. It's an outward act, so his body had to be outwardly wounded. But he was bruised for our iniquity. Iniquity is an internal crooked appetite. And it's internal. And a bruise is an internal. It's not an external wound. It's an eternal wound. Jesus paid for our iniquity, not just our sin. Isn't that awesome? So if we are aware of that, the devil has pulled the wool over our eyes. So we think that we have to struggle with temptation all the time, when in fact we don't. We just need to allow God to put a heart of flesh in us every day and keep us pure. Isn't that good news? I want to say this here. Let's read one more passage of scripture and then we're going to close. In Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to look it up here. I'm reading out of the King James Bible. New King James, sorry. Verse 9 to 25. And it says here, there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, in whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is a great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with sorcery for a very long time. So he was a known sorcerer. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized, and Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. And so Philip became a Christian. Philip got baptized. Philip was a believer, but he had a past. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the good news, they sent Peter and John to them, who went. They came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because it had not yet fallen. All right? And then verse 17. And then they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone in whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because your thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." He's talking about the heart. Verse 22. "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." And so he said, listen, God will... Listen what he said to Simon. He said, "Pray that God will forgive your thoughts." Did you know that your thoughts, as a New Testament believer, the standard actually increased, didn't go down. People say, "We're no longer under the law," which is, no, we don't have to be under it. We fulfill it now because we have Jesus. Jesus said, you know, you heard it about your ancestors. It was said, "You shall not murder." But I say, if you have hatred in your heart, you've already committed murder. So you have to say, "God, forgive me for these feelings that I'm having, because they're contrary to your word." And God, because he was bruised for those iniquities, will remove them. But most Christians don't even deal with their feelings and the thoughts of their hearts and their appetites. They're on a surface level of repentance. And God is calling us to a deeper place. Isn't that good? And there's hope, and there's freedom, and there's victory. Jesus said, you heard it said that you shouldn't commit adultery. He says, if I say to you, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart already with her, right? Because now God is saying, I gave you a new heart, don't defile it. In the Old Testament, they didn't get a new heart, you get a new heart, so don't defile it, keep it pure. And so in closing, I want to read one last scripture, and we're going to pray for you guys. I'm going to have the worship team come up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we're going to finish with a song and a hallelujah and a time of prayer for those of you who want prayer today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Yeah. It says here, "If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all evil desire." Unrighteousness deals with iniquity. So repentance is twofold. God, see, I used to pray, and some pastor taught me this, but I used to pray and say, "God, forgive me for the sin." And I struggled in a certain area, and I'd sin and say, "God, I'm sorry, I won't do it again." And then I'd, 6 months down the road, I'd do it again, and I'd say, "God, forgive me." But someone told me once, and it was a pastor, I can't remember who it was, said, listen, repentance is twofold. You got to say, God, forgive me, and now cleanse me from the evil desire that's making me want to do this. Does it make sense to anybody this morning? And so what I'm trying to do this morning is just basically say, don't let the devil pull the wool over your eyes. The truth is you have victory, you have authority, and we have the power of God to walk in victory over desires. And one of the things we're going to do, how many here have been through an encounter weekend at this church before? When we have an encounter weekend, it's a Friday and a Saturday of just like dealing with the heart. It's really what it is, purifying the heart, dealing with issues in our lives. And there's prayer ministry. It's called an encounter weekend because we encounter God. We do it on a Friday and a Saturday. And for those of you who've been to the encounter weekends, what does the Sunday morning look like after the encounter weekend? You know, you don't have to tell people to dance during the worship because you know who was at the encounter weekend because they're shouting and dancing even if they've never shouted and danced. But what happened? What happened was they were experiencing God because God was taking away the stones, and they were experiencing God, and God was imprinting new desires on their heart for the things of God. And so we need to learn to search our hearts. So we're going to have an encounter weekend probably end of September, sometime in October. I have to sit down with the elders, and we're going to talk and pray about that because we really feel it's time for the church to go through another encounter. Amen? How many would agree with that? Well, the worship team is going to lead us in a closing song. And I want to just ask Holy Spirit that you would move in this place right now. I just shared what you've asked me to share, and I know that you're moving on the hearts of people. This message is not to bring people into a place of condemnation, but to bring them into a place of realizing I don't have to live under condemnation if I get this thing right. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, right now, that if there's people in this place, God, that have never encountered the change of desires, have never felt like I was given a new heart, I've been born again, that they're going to come up to this altar and get prayer today, and we're going to pray that, God, they will encounter you. There's a hunger and a thirst that's coming over some people, and you just want to know God. This is your time. There's others in this place where you just feel, listen, I've allowed some little rocks in. I've allowed my heart and my desires to shift a little bit too much. You know, the neat thing with God is when he takes only away the evil desires. You're still going to have your desires for sports or crafts or the good things in life. God wants you to have those desires. He takes away the desires that are rebellious against him and gives you a desire for himself. And if you need a touch of God in that area, I want you to answer this call as well. And just, I'm going to call the elders up to pray. And Marilyn, if you'd come up and pray as well. And if that's you, and you want just prayer as we worship here, God's going to touch you in a powerful way. Let's begin.